Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 13th to the 15th, 2016 at the Doubletree Inn in Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming in New England at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information. Hello, and welcome to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network to discuss historical and New England gaming. This is episode 146. That's right, 146. Plastic Soldiers. So I want to welcome all of you new and longtime listeners alike to the show. So thank you for taking the time to tune in. If you're a new listener, you're in for a treat because hopefully you will enjoy what I discuss in this episode, and maybe you'll go back into the classic catalog, into the archives, and listen to some of the other ones. And if you're a longtime listener, you already know what you're in for. So this episode, episode 146, is pretty cool. We're going to talk about a variety of different things. I want to remind you that you don't need to worry about remembering everything I discuss on the show because it's all in the show notes. So no matter what, just remember one thing. And the one thing you need to remember is the link to the show notes, wargamingrecon.com/WR146. That's wargamingrecon.com/WR146. And I know a lot of you like to listen when you're commuting to and from work, or you're at the gym or painting models or all sorts of other stuff. You're doing other things is really what the point is. So you're not going to remember everything, but just remember that link, wargamingrecon.com/WR146. And that'll connect you to the show notes and has things that I talk about. It'll have links and all that kind of stuff. It has the important bits in it. So that way you don't have to remember everything. You can just listen and enjoy. And then later on, if you so choose, you go to wargamingrecon.com/WR146. And that'll have all the things that you need to be like, what did Jonathan talk about? He mentioned something about blah, 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 blah. And I really want to know more about it. Well, you go to the show notes and bam, it's there and you can get that information that you're looking for. I want to begin by apologizing to everyone. There should have been another episode between the last one you listened to and this one, episode 145 and this, because new episodes come out roughly every 2 weeks. And for the first time in like two and a half years, or as a long time actually, I wasn't able to put out a new episode because I was really sick. I had a fever and I had this really bad cold thing that went like weird and long and all sorts of stuff. And I gave it to the baby and gave it to my wife and things just were not good. So there was no way I was going to be able to do an episode. I was hoping. So I actually, I'm glad it didn't work out, but I actually started to record this so that it would come out for, you know, that last slot. And then for one reason or another, the internet at home died. I was like halfway through the recording and everything got lost because I record these live on via Google Hangout so that you can watch them on our YouTube channel. You can watch it on the live page at wargamingrecon.com/live. You can get them a few different ways. And so you can actually see me as I record and then I can interact with you through our live chat and that sort of stuff. But because I do it that way, when the internet died and cut out, it went kaput. And Google, as much as I love them for a lot of things, they didn't have any of it saved. So I wasn't able to use it. And that's actually okay because I tell you, one, you wouldn't have wanted to watch it because I was looking miserable and wiping my nose and all sorts of that stuff, you know, that you do when you're sick. And two, I didn't have the energy that I normally do. So I wasn't as ebullient as I am now to talk about this topic. So that's okay. I get to do it right for all of you, and I appreciate everyone's understanding that I wasn't able to get one out last time. It really killed me though, because I was like, it's the first time in so long, and I've been doing this since 2006, you know, with breaks here and there. So really, this is one of the longest running wargaming podcasts on the web, and that's like the first time since like 2008 or 2010 that I hadn't been able to put out anything. And usually what happens, just a brief aside, usually what happens if I'm ill or something comes up that I'm not going to be able to give you a new complete episode, I'll take one of our classic episodes from the vault and then I will spruce it up and make it sound a little bit better because I can do that while I'm feeling like crud and you don't have to hear my voice going, or you don't have to hear me sneezing and all that kind of stuff. So I can spruce it up a little bit and then I can rest and rest and rest and then get myself to the point where I can do a 3 to 5 minute intro where I'll just briefly talk about whatever it was. And so those are recap episodes, basically, or recast, I believe I call them. And then I can put that out and be like, I'm sorry, guys, but here's one from the vault. And it's cool because blah, 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 blah. I also kind of do that at the end of recording year when I do a best of. I do that in December-ish, January-ish, because I take that break because of my birthday is December 22nd. And then with Christmas, because I'm Catholic, so that's a whole big thing. And then, of course, now with the baby, even bigger thing, right? So I take that time to kind of recharge my batteries and rejuvenate myself. And then that way I come back and fresh for the next recording year in the middle of the following January. So rather than give you nothing, I take best of episodes from that recording year. So for example, for this season, the 2015 podcast season, when it comes to December, because it's getting closer actually, I'll look back and I'll pick stuff that I had released this year and then I will release it again. And you're like, well, we already heard that. But what I'll do is I'll give you like a good 15 minute maybe intro with some behind the scenes stuff, insight and that sort of thing to make it fresh, maybe make it a little more interesting and then give you more content. And I'll be like, this is one of my favorites because so-and-so was on. We talked about this, but what you didn't hear was blah, blah, blah. And actually, I got a clip. So I'll put that right here before we start and then you can listen and so forth. But anyway, let's actually get into today's topic, which is plastic soldiers. The idea behind doing this episode, which might be a little bit interesting for all of you, actually comes from way back in episode 84, Wargaming on the Cheap. That's wargamingrecon.com/WR84. And one of the things that I had listed when I did Wargaming on the Cheap, I listed a bunch of different ways that you could literally wargame on the cheap, paper terrain and all sorts of stuff. One of the things I listed was plastic army men, which are a little different from what I'm going to talk about today with plastic soldiers. Plastic army men are literally the things that you used probably as a kid, that they came in those plastic baggies and you opened up and some were green and some were tan and you fought on the carpet or on the kitchen table and all that sort of stuff. Plastic soldiers, it's kind of broad, right? Because you have things like the 28 millimeter scale stuff that the Perry brothers are doing. You have things that really fit into that, like the Vitrix and so forth. Really nicely detailed. The boxes, you get like 25 to 30 figs. And they're of that certain scale that just fits with what's in vogue right now. But when I'm talking about plastic soldiers, I'm actually thinking back to those classic Airfix models. Things that maybe some of you, if you are long time war gamers, played with when you were a kid. Things, you know, from the 60s, the 70s. Really from the time when wargaming was gaining steam and popularity, but when you didn't have a whole lot of choices for variety. And you might think that those old Airfix models are dead or that they don't have the variety anymore. I'm here to tell you that's not true. Plastics are big business and there's tons of fantastic things that you can do with them. So I am actually focusing on, like I said, those Airfix stuff, the 1/72 scale plastic soldiers. And I'm defining them specifically in that way instead of like the Perrys or instead of those army men that you may have played with as a kid that came in those little plastic bags and not the Airfix ones, just the no-name brand stuff. Because I think these are a whole area of wargaming in which the models may be overlooked nowadays because people who had used them when they were, say, my age in their 30s or younger when they were in their teens and in their 20s, they might either not have really loved them as much then. They used them because that's what was there. So you only had that available. You got those Airfix stuff and maybe you liked it, maybe you didn't, but use it because it's what you had. It was your only option. So maybe you don't like it nowadays because you're like, oh, I was there, whatever now. Or maybe you don't think there's many options out there. Maybe you think that the other options are just way cooler, the metals and the Perry Brothers stuff and everything. But I want to let you know in this episode that those Airfix kits, they are still viable options. And then there are many other manufacturers that make them, not just Airfix, but you got Zvezda and Italieri and Hat and just so many, 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 many other options. So I want to talk about some of the pros and some of the cons of the 1/72 scale plastic soldiers. So let's just dig into some of the pros because, well, it's no fun starting off with negative stuff. I really like to talk about the good things, and if something's not good, I don't tend to talk about it on the show. But as with anything in life, there's good and there's bad. So let's just dive into the good. So the 1/72 scale plastic soldiers are great, right? No, they are. And I know it doesn't sound in my mind. They really are great. But one of the reasons in which they are great is that you can get models for just about any conflict you want, just about any time in history, just about any configuration you can think of. Once upon a time, you had to get, say, your air fixed, and then you had to convert them however you want. If you like to convert, that's cool. But you don't need to now. So if you want feudal Japan, you want Dark Ages, you want Napoleonic, you want modern, you can get it, and you can get it in the 1/72 scale plastics. You can pick up a set from this manufacturer, or manufacturer B, or manufacturer D. You can get your Taliban. You can get your U.S. Special Forces. You can do Korea. You can do World War II. You can play Hail Caesar with these things. You can do just about anything you could imagine with 1/72 scale plastics. It's actually pretty incredible. There are lots of options out there. Also, second great reason why you might want to consider 1/72 scale plastics are, I do firmly believe they are the most affordable option, period, when it comes to models for wargaming. People might be thinking, well, what about the paper models, or as I call them, the print and play models? You know, you can go to Wargame Vault and you can buy them from there. You can make your own. You can find some free on the web and just print them out. Well, yeah, those may not necessarily cost you money to obtain them, but it's costing you a lot of money in ink and printer paper. And you may not realize it because you might think, well, I buy that stuff anyway, and what am I going to know? I bet, though, if you actually took the time to evaluate, and no one's going to do this, but if you took the time to evaluate how much ink you use to print out those print and play models and how much paper you use for all that, you're going to find that you're spending a lot of money on it, a lot more than you would ever imagine. Plus, it takes a lot of time because, I don't know about you, but I have a printer, and what do I got? I get an Epson, the Epson something or other. And the Epson, it's great. It works fantastic with my Mac. It's not going to turn out pages really quickly. And if it did, the quality wouldn't be that great. The quality is good for what I use it for, but it's going to eat up the ink, and it's going to take a while to do it. It's like that 3D printing. 3D printing is fantastic, right? I've seen tons of videos and heard a lot of people talk about it. I work in a public library where this is, it's of a lot of interest to people, 3D printing. A problem, however, with the 3D printing is that it takes so long to print anything with it. And granted, that's like 5,000 times longer than it takes to do a print and play model. But it still takes a lot of time to say, I'm going to print this unit here, I'm going to print that here on your paper. And then you got to buy the fancy paper stock, right? Because you don't want to use just regular printer paper that you would do for a letter or something. You want something a little more sturdy. So that takes even more money because that's more expensive. And you got to do the research to make sure that it's just right. And you don't have to do that with 1/72 scale plastic, which is with the plastic soldiers. You can get what you want. And if you want to paint them, you can. You don't have to, but you could. To give you an idea of how much it costs just to buy the models, you could get a set of Imperial Roman Legionaries from Hat Industry, who I love. I think they're one of the best 1/72 scale manufacturers out there. You get 45 figs for $7.50 American. That's set 8082. You get 45 guys for $7.50 American. That's really good, right? So you don't have to worry about spending tons and tons of money on these things because they're cheap. They are literally just so affordable. It's absurd. And as I'm talking, I'm doing the math, right? It's 17 cents a figure. 17 cents, right? 17 cents American per guy. You can't get print and play models for that cost because the paper expensive, the ink expensive. Again, I don't know about you, but an ink cartridge for me costs like 36, 40, 50 bucks. That's a lot of money. And then you figure out how many guys you're going to get out of that. It doesn't even compare. Plus, these are 3D. They look cooler. Sculpting. Well, that's actually the next thing. They're generally really nicely sculpted. So that's the third pro, right? So you don't have to worry about, are they going to look like crap or how is it going to come out when you print them? No, they look good. Some manufacturers better than others, but overall, they look really good. They have nice detail on them. They just look nice on the table as is, but also because of that extra cool detail that they do. If you're someone who likes to paint models, and I know I'm not, but I know that many of you are. If you're someone who likes to paint models, the detail makes it more fun, right? So that you can actually get in there and you can paint as ever much detail as you want. But the detail also makes it easier. If you don't want to go hog wild, you can do a nice base coat. You can do some shading, say with like a nice inking or something like that. You can do a little dry brush because of the raised edges, and you can make it look nice with minimal effort for painting. And if you love to paint, you just go crazy, right? Go ahead, because it'll look great when you're done. And when you are done, often you may not be able to tell these 17 cents a fig models from the like a dollar a fig models that you can get, the metals or the more expensive plastics. So that makes it worth looking into. And then the final pro, the fourth, I usually like to have five, but the fourth is that they generally require a little to no assembly. I don't know anybody, and I'm sure they're out there, but I don't know anybody who loves to assemble models. You might like to convert them. You might like to paint them. You might like to play with them. You might like to make terrain for them. I've never heard anyone come to me and say, you know, John, I love assembling models. I can't get enough of that PVA glue and the plastic cement and just getting it together. It's my favorite part of the hobby. Don't know anyone who said that. And if you're one of them, you adore that. Fantastic. I applaud you. I've just never had you come to me and say, hey, I'd love to do this. No one has ever told me that. Doesn't mean people who enjoy that don't exist. It just means no one's told me that. So I'm going to say it's probably a good thing if assembly is easy. In any of the sets that I've obtained, I haven't had to assemble any critical pieces. It's not like those Games Workshop multi-part plastics where for a Space Marine you have 18 pieces. Okay, one Space Marine, 18 pieces, a little excessive for me, right? Just a smidgen. An easy guy's like 9 or 10 pieces. What? 10 pieces for a guy? And I need how many for my army? I need 80? You know how many pieces? Usually, either you don't need any assembly, period. Or you might have to glue a shield on, you might have to glue like a weapon, say someone's gun, they have a lance or whatever, something like that. Glue a person onto a horse. The horses tend to be one piece. You don't have like the two halves, or you don't have to put the head on separate or the tail on separate like you do with the Games Workshop stuff. So I know some people like that you have all those other options because you can do easy head swaps, you can do easy weapon swaps if you're into converting. You can still do the conversions. It's fine. The plastic tends to be softer, so it's going to make it easy to get in and do whatever you need to, but you don't have to because like I said in the first point, the variety is there. You can get a guy holding that sword that you want. You can get a guy holding an axe or holding a machine gun. It's not a problem. You can get a guy in just about every single pose that you could imagine wanting with just about every single weapon you could imagine wanting for them to have for just about every conflict. So you don't need to do the conversion. You could. I mean, if that's your thing, go for it. But you don't have to. So therefore, the fact that there is little to no assembly, usually, I think that's a good thing because that cuts down the time needed to go from opening your box of models or your bag of models, however you're getting them, to getting them on the table and playing a game. For most people, most important aspect of the hobby is having fun by spending time with their peers. There was a recent survey done, Great Wargaming Survey 2015 by the great folks at Karun Sare Press, publishers rather, and they kind of track the hobby. I'll be talking with Jasper Ortiz later. I'm not sure if we'll do it during this 2015 season or if it'll be in the 2016 season because they're still analyzing. But anyway, they ask people like, what are one of the things you love? And gaming with your friends is always near the top, if not the number one answer for that question. So by and large, we're doing this, like we get pleasure, right, from doing the research. We get pleasure from painting or making terrain and doing all that kind of stuff. But we get the most fun from gaming with our friends. It's a social hobby, in as much as it may not seem like it is, but it is. So if we can reduce the amount of time needed to go from point A to point B, from getting those models and getting the stuff you need to learn the rules to actually playing the game, that's a good thing. And that's also a really good thing for introducing the hobby to new people. So I think this is fantastic and perhaps one of the most important aspects of 1/72nd scale plastics. So let's kind of move down and we're going to move into what some of the cons are because nothing in life is only good, right? Nothing in life is only bad either. There's a mix of both. That's how you get that gray gooey stuff in the middle. So some of the cons here, they can be confusing to pick what you want because there is such a large variety, which is a good thing, right? You can get anything you want. You may not know what you want and you may not know where to get. You may not know which manufacturer you want to go with. So you need a little help, right? But you're in luck because there's a great resource for it. Plastic Soldier Review. That's plasticsoldierreview.com. It is a must use free resource. It's a website. They have just about every single manufacturer you can imagine. They give reviews for each set. Even more importantly, they have color photographs of the contents. Some of the sets are just repackagings of other sets. So you might get an Intellieri set of Viking herdmen. And it's actually a repacking of an Irfex set. So the models are going to look the same. That's good to know, because you might think, well, they're different. And maybe they're not. Or maybe a set includes something extra if you buy from manufacturer D as opposed to manufacturer A. So you can really learn more about what you want and learn which sets have what you need. And you can kind of untangle the mess. The website's really easy to use. I use it all the time. I'm just on it because I find it interesting just to kind of look at the stuff and see the photos and everything. But it's been really helpful to me in getting what I need for my Hail Caesar army. The mythical Hail Caesar army I've been talking about for a long time. Because I knew that I wanted some models by Hat Industry. H-A-T. I love it. Hat. Any company named Hat is cool in my book. So Hat Industry made stuff. When I couldn't get them because they were retooling their machines or whatever, I was like, well, who am I going to get? Well, let's go to Plastic Soldier Review and find out. And I went and I said, well, Caesar Miniatures makes some that would be really cool. So I was able to get those and they work well together. Like I said, you're going to need to dig around because you might look at the box and think, oh, I'm getting blah, blah, blah. I'm looking at the box thinking I'm getting Imperial Roman auxiliaries. And what you have in your head as those Imperial Roman auxiliaries might be different from what's actually in the box or what's even on the box artwork. So Plastic Soldier Review explains that. I'm using Imperial Roman auxiliaries on purpose because when I was working on my Hail Caesar army, and this is really completely my fault because I was just being dense. I was like, oh, I need auxiliaries because it's for Hail Caesar. And in the Hail Caesar rulebook, it says auxiliaries have this stat line, which means they should basically be outfitted with blah, blah, blah. And there's these different types of auxiliaries. I can get Syrian archers. I can get this. I can get that, blah, blah, blah. Oh, look, Hat Industry makes a set called Imperial Roman Auxiliaries. It must be exactly what I want. And I get it and I look and I'm like, wait a sec. Are we sure? Because these guys look like they don't have any shirts on and they're carrying swords and an axe. And these guys look like they're heavily armored, but I think they're archers. And this is, well, if I had actually looked and comprehended what I was looking at on Plastic Soldier Review, I would have realized that what Hat Industry was doing was making a box set that contained a variety of auxiliary forces from throughout the Imperial Roman world. It wasn't a complete unit worth or multiple units worth of specific auxiliaries. It was just a variety. And that in order to get what I needed for Hail Caesar, I either needed to buy more boxes of that to get what I want, or I needed to look for other things that would work as what I wanted, whether or not they said Imperial Roman auxiliaries on the box. It's just a word to the warning that what's on the box may not be what you want. You really have to think about what is it that I want? What am I going to use it for? And does it make sense for what I want to use it for, no matter what the name is? So Plastic Soldier Review, you can look, and they break it down by time period and conflict and all sorts of stuff. So you can go into that and say, well, I need Imperial Roman auxiliaries, right? I need Napoleonic cavalry, light cavalry. What's going to work? Whether or not it's what it says it is, but will it work for what I want? Does it make sense? Do the models look like they could be this? And then you get to do your research. Very important. The next con is that with the great variety of options, boxes come with also a variety of poses for your models. Not all poses will be useful, and some of them could be useless. So you might be buying a box, and it's a great value, right? It's affordable. Let's put it that way. It's very affordable, and yet maybe half of what's in the box are poses that are just useless to you. You want to do an Imperial Roman tortoise. You want them to turtle up, right? But maybe the guys won't rank up properly. So maybe that's not the box set for you. Maybe there's another one that'll work better. Again, it goes back to that research. And the research is easy and quick. And I know earlier I was talking about the time involved with print and play models. And you're thinking, Jonathan, you said print and play models, just the time, it's too much. And now you're talking about research. Yeah, but, and you know there'd be a button there, right? It doesn't take that much time. It's quick. It's on the web, it's quick search, and it's easy to do, so it's actually not taking you a lot of time in order to learn a lot and be able to discern what you need. benefit of that is it's going to make it easier for you to avoid making mistakes. And if you avoid making mistakes, that's saving money, money in your pocket that you can use for other things, or you could use to expand your army, to do cool stuff, go on vacation or whatever. So it's important. No one wants to buy a box of figs where all the poses are just crap, right? It's not what you want. It's not what I want. And the manufacturers really, they don't even want to give that to you either, but it's something that you'll come across. So just gotta be careful with the 1/72nd scale plastics. You can get anything, everything in the kitchen sink, right? There's a set out there by, Mir, I think it is, M-I-R. I don't even think you can get it anymore. I think it's out of print and rare. It's an X-rated set of, how to phrase this, of men at arms, of soldiers engaging in intimate behavior with women. So you could get a set of that. You can get anything, right? And that's like, what? What use is that? Poses might be a little weird. I don't know. I haven't seen it. Don't have it. You can get anything in 1/72nd scale plastics, which is cool, but you can also get really crappy poses, which might not be useful for you. Some manufacturers, as a third con, are not entirely reliable when it comes to the quality of the figures and of the poses. Again, you're going to learn this because back to the first con with that, there's so much, it's so confusing, what do I do? Ah! Plastic Soldier Review, they rate, you get pictures, you can learn easily what manufacturers to always go with because they're just always a hit, which ones are always a miss, which ones are a mixed bag. Who's going to be good? Who's going to be bad? Who should I do a little more looking at before I pick that up? Just because something's affordable doesn't mean it's good, but you can get something really good, something incredible that is affordable. And then the final point is that some of these 1/72nd scale plastics, and a lot of them actually, but not all, a good chunk, tend to be made out of softer plastic, not the stuff you would get from Games Workshop, from Privateer Press, or from the Perry Brothers. As a result of that softer plastic, you need to make sure you're using the right glue to glue it together. And you need to be mindful when you paint them, if you paint them, because the paint will wear off, especially on the thinner areas. It'll wear off, but we're big boys and girls, right? We know what we're doing and we know how to properly use these things. So that means if you properly seal it, I recommend Tester's Dull Coat. It's great because I like that dull finish, but if you want a glossy finish, you can just do a glossy varnish. Or if you do the dipping method, Army Painter Quick Shade, that'll give you that glossy varnish on it, and it varnishes it, so it's sealed and protected. If you properly seal it and protect it and use it well, it's going to last a long time. It's not going to just rub off right after the first use. So, yes, this is a con, but it's easily fixed, easily prevented, because we're big boys and big girls, and we've been doing this, and we know how to do it. So that's what I have to say about plastics, or 1/72nd scale. I love Hat Industry. They are one of my favorites. There are other really good ones. Zvezda is a Russian company. They make tons of great stuff, lots of options. They usually require a little more assembly on that end, and they may cost a little bit more, but they are very great quality, all sorts of different stuff. Caesar Miniatures is another good one. I've had good luck with them. They require a little bit of assembly in that, I mean, granted, I'm buying Imperial Romans, right? So I need to put the shields on. I need to glue a weapon in the arm or something like that. Simple, easy. But they're good. I've got it in Talieri. I've got an Airfix. I've got in, I can't think of all the names. There's too many is what it is, but that's good. So I do highly, highly recommend checking out 1/72nd scale plastics. You can get them just about anywhere. If you're in the Metro Boston area, I highly recommend that you go to the Hobby Bunker in Malden. They're a great store that has tons and tons and tons of 1/72nd scale plastics. They usually have like a sale going on at some point where you can get them even more reduced. And if you don't live anywhere near them, you can order online. They have this great web store where you can just place an order. Shipping is really cheap, so you don't have to worry about that. I've even considered doing it, and I don't live that far. Just if I'm like, I'm not going to drive in Boston. I live outside of Boston, and I may not want to drive the traffic here is awful. I may not want to deal with the traffic to get there. Maybe I'll just order online and pay. It's like $5 shipping or something like that. It's great. The owners are fantastic and great variety of stuff. You can get these and it's good. So moving on, I want to talk about something that's coming up soon that I'm very excited about. And I've kind of done little breadcrumbs throughout the past half a dozen episodes. I'm talking about the Extra Life 24-Hour Gamerthon. This will take place on November 7th, 2015. It's my fifth time, I think, doing it. And what I'm doing and what this is, for those of you not familiar, it's a charity that raises money for local hospitals throughout the U.S. and I think even internationally. And you're thinking, well, yeah, that's cool, but there's a lot of charities that do that kind of stuff. So this charity, it's really important, actually, because it's helping kids. There's a lot of kids out there who have these really scary diseases. I have a cousin who has cystic fibrosis, which is just, it's an awful, awful disease. It's a respiratory disease. It shortens your lifespan. Kids with CF are lucky to live into their 20s. They get clogged up, and so they can't breathe. There are other kids who have leukemia and cancer and just all sorts of scary, awful things. And they need medical treatment. They have to get the help that they need every so often. And I'm raising money to support my local children's hospital, Boston Children's Hospital. Maybe I'm a little biased, but it's one of the best in the country, if not the world. So a lot of these kids who have these diseases and go and get treatment, their families can afford it, no problem. They have their health insurance, they do whatever. And so they get it and they're good to go. Some kids can't. Their families don't have the money. It's can be as simple as, do we eat, pay the mortgage, or pay our utilities? Or does the kid get the medical care they need? What's going to give? And so the kid might not get the help. Kids need the help. These are just, they're awful, awful, awful diseases. And this charity provides the money for that. So if the kid has something and they need that medical help, they need the treatment, the family doesn't need to worry about not being able to pay for it. The charity pays for it, covers it all. The family never sees a bill. It's all done and covered. Kid doesn't know any better. So I've been doing this, like I said, for a few years, and I've been doing it to raise money for Children's Hospital every year. And Children's Hospital, it's great. Like I said, my cousin has CF, and so she's gone and she gets treatment there. And then more recently, my daughter's benefited from it. She's had some acid reflux issues, and supposedly she'll grow them. And she's also had milk protein sensitivities, which means she can't just eat regular formula. She can't have things with dairy in it or whatever. She will hopefully one day outgrow that as well. But she's had to be seen by specialists from Children's Hospital. And so we benefited from Children's Hospital. We've been able, you know, through insurance and everything to cover stuff. So my daughter can get the help she needs whenever she needs it. It's not a problem. Not every family can. And so this year, I'm once again raising money and I'm asking you for help. If you have, you know, a spare buck lying around, a spare dollar, if you consider making a donation, I have a goal of $250 I'm trying to raise. Last year, I also had a goal of $200, actually. And last year, beat that goal, raised $430.35 through your generosity, which is fantastic. And so this year, it'd be awesome to not only meet the goal, but if we could exceed it. And I think we can, because you're passionate, and people care, and, you know, a dollar here, a dollar there. It doesn't have to be big donations, just a little bit here and there. Maybe don't get a cup of coffee one day, and that's $2, right? Maybe just skip something, and you're making the difference in a kid's life. That's what it comes down to. We're just doing it for the kids. Already, I'm actually really excited to say I've raised $220 from variety people, so thank you very much. We still have like 2 weeks to go to the event. What I'm doing with the event, besides just raising money, is the charity has it set up so that gamers, or gamers like you and me, are gaming for 24 hours. Get together on the 7th. You can go to a game store. You can do it with friends, do it at your house, whatever. And we're gaming nonstop for 24 hours. We're doing that. We're playing a variety of games, whatever you have. It doesn't matter. We're gaming. People are podcasting it. They're live streaming it. They're doing all sorts of things, and I'm going to be doing it too. I'll be playing games. Originally, I thought maybe about having some people over, but we're not quite so sure. With the baby, makes things a little interesting. What I might do, actually, I might do like a live feed so that you can see me play games, me, my wife and the baby, or whoever drops by, play games, and maybe I'll do live feeds for a few hours of it throughout the day so that you can see what I'm playing and stuff. People like those live play things. I mean, that's why that show Tabletop is so popular. Well, one of the reasons why it's so popular. Other Will Wheaton, Felicia Day, right? You can't go wrong with that. So in addition to doing that, this is really cool. We have a charity auction we're doing. Last year, it was completely run by listener Dave. And this year, he has painted this really cool limited edition Battle Games Magazine Combat Stress Appeal model. It's a World War I Tommy. He's painted it. He's shipped it to me, and I'll be doing the eBay charity auction. That by the time you listen to this, that should be up or be up shortly. So you, all you need to do is go to wargamingrecon.com/eBay, and that'll connect you to the charity auction. And all the proceeds from that, all the proceeds that from all the fundraising that I'm doing are going directly to the charity. And so all that money goes there. It goes directly to benefit the kids. We're going to get the help they need at Children's Hospital. I make no money off of this. No one else is making money off of it. And with this charity auction, and all the details will be actually be in the eBay auction. But you bid, whatever you think is a fair price to bid on it, so that maybe you'll win this awesome model. I can tell you, it's fantastic. I love it. It's really, really good. And then I will ship it to you, and you know, you pay and so forth. Then model's yours. Money goes to help kids in need. It's win-win. Throughout the Extra Life 24-Hour Gamerthon, I will be tweeting, and I'll be on Facebook. I'll do live blogging and all sorts of stuff. I'm doing this as part of a team also with the people from the Troll in the Corner podcast network. So Ben Gerber, who's the head honcho of Troll in the Corner, he's the head of the team. It's Team Troll. I'll have links to the stuff in the show notes. And if you want to just make a donation to me, go to wargamingrecon.com/charity. That's wargamingrecon.com/charity. Any amount of money you can donate is much appreciated. Like I said, all the proceeds go to help the kids in need so they can get that medical care that they desperately, desperately need. And that's what it is. So I'll have links to stuff on the show notes, and I'll be talking about it through our social media. So it's really important, if you don't follow me on Twitter and if you don't like Wargaming Recon on Facebook, that you do so. There'll be links in the show notes. And speaking of social media, it's time for our mailbag section. Mailbag is one of my favorites because I love to communicate with listeners like you. And whether I'm out at a convention or just, you know, here and I get email or tweets and all sorts of stuff. So it's really cool. On Facebook, listener Adam sent a message saying, quote, "You should try to do a show with Rich regarding his games, including Waterloo." The Rich in question, first of all, thank you, Adam, for your comment and for your message on Facebook. But the Rich in question is a member of the Boston Trained Bands, which is a fantastic wargaming club. And he runs in conjunction, some solo, but some in conjunction with the Boston Trained Bands. He runs some amazing participation games at area New England gaming conventions, up at Huzzah and at Havoc. And they do game days at the Hobby Bunker. Just fantastic. And I tell you, I would love to have Rich on the show sometime to talk about stuff. Rich is just a really smart guy who knows his stuff, and I'm sure I'm going to feel inadequate, but he's a great guy. And on top of that, he has two little ones. So he's also a wargaming dad, and he just has a lot of cool stuff that he can say, but he's someone who gets the details right. He does all the research, and his stuff just looks awesome. The tables are so fun to see. He's a great game master, and the games are so much fun to play in. He's another one who I look for his name. So I'm like, can I sign up for that? Do I have time? I want to play his stuff. And then, let's see, announcements. I like to do it every episode. We couldn't exist without our sponsor, which is the fantastic gaming group up in Maine, the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They are just a bunch of wonderful people. They put on Huzzah, which is, in my opinion, one of the best historical wargaming conventions in New England. So thank them. And if you go to Huzzah, tell them that you listen to the show and that you go to Huzzah because you like us. But Huzzah is going to be May 13th through the 16th of 2016. I will be there. I'll be doing a live show, so it'll be really cool to do it yet again. The Maine Historical Wargamers Association, they're the real deal. Is what it is. They're wonderful. So they are just really cool. Don't forget, like I said at the beginning of the show, I do this live. So I record live. You can watch live via the live page. It's really easy that you can see, and then you can interact with me. Live page works on your mobile devices. So if you're on your tablet, you're on your smartphone, you can do that. You can interact with me. And then I want to thank the supporters on Patreon. So I want to thank Dave and the War Games at Battle Shades Facebook group, and also Jamie at Drake Poldragon on Twitter for supporting Wargaming Recon here. Jamie actually won last year's Extra Life 24-Hour Gamerthon eBay charity auction figure that Dave painted. So it's really cool. I'll try to see if I can dig up the photo that Jimmy had put in his tweet from last year. He's like, it came! He's all excited and stuff. So I can share that with everyone. Normally at this point, I would plug Patreon and be like, if you can, donate to me and back me on Patreon. But you know what? I, as much as I support that and helps to keep the show alive, if you were thinking of supporting me on Patreon this month, why not just put that money towards Extra Life 24-Hour Gamerthon charity for the kids in need at Boston Children's Hospital, because it's going to make a difference. And you know what else? If you aren't, I'm going to take, this is just totally spur of the moment, I'm going to take some of the money that I get from Patreon backers for November, which is when the event actually happens. I'm going to take some of the money from then, and I will donate that to the charity. So you can go ahead and back me on Patreon and help me, and then I'll take some of that and just send it to them, or you can make a donation directly, orgamingrecon.com/charity. And yeah, other stuff. And actually, do you know what? There is one thing I wasn't going to cover, but I'm going to cover now. And I'm sorry to those of you who are just listening live, because you can hear a lot of bad audio for a moment because I'm opening something. Okay. So I'm going to go into more depth in this in another episode, but I had mentioned in the mailbag episode, what was that? Last one, I think, that someone, a listener, a great listener actually, had tweeted me asking about Peter Pig products. He's in the UK and he's like, hey, have you ever used them? What do you think about them? And so I had ordered them from Brookhurst Hobbies in California because they are supposedly the only US distributor of Peter Pig products. Peter Pig's really cool looking stuff, and I had ordered some on there. And if you're watching live, you can see some of the things that have been ordered. The listener has suggested that I look at their World War II stuff because he said it was a newer range and it would be better casting and look better. And I was like, cool, because actually, believe it or not, I could use some stuff for Flames of War. So I had got some Germans on motorcycles, sidecars, and then for my buddy Adrian, he needed some tanks. So I had done that, and I had placed the order, and then a really long time went by, and I didn't really hear anything back. So I was like, what? I know it takes a while for Brookhurst to get stuff out, but like, this is crazy. I got an auto reply, I think, saying like, we received your order, and that was it. No money came out of my account. Nothing else. And just a lot of time went by, and I was like, I'm a little confused. What's going on? So I don't understand. And well, it took about 5 weeks, I think, no communication. And then out of the blue, this package shows up on my door, and it's this mailing thing. And I'm like, I didn't order anything. And I actually, in my head, I had a mental note for me to somehow contact Brookhurst Hobbies to cancel the order, because I was like, at this point, they're not sending it. They didn't take money out of my account, so I'll just cut my losses and figure out another way to do this, and I'll be disappointed, but whatever. And then I looked at the address on the package, and it was from Brookhurst Street in California. I was like, wait a sec, maybe this is from them. And I opened it up, and it is, so the stuff has come, and they'll appear in a future episode. But I gotta tell you, this isn't a review or anything, and I haven't spent a whole lot of time about this, but 5 weeks and no communication is a little crazy. I had been told by someone else who had ordered from them, who I think at one point it took like for 3 weeks for them, that the people at Brookhurst, and I could be wrong, and if someone knows that I am wrong, please tell me, because I'd like to get it correct. I don't want to spread false information, but I had been told from a reliable person that although Brookhurst Hobbies is the U.S. distributor for Peter Pig products, and although Brookhurst Hobbies has a website where you can order things online, they don't use a computer for any of this stuff. They keep track of all their orders and filling them and the communication and everything, pen and paper. And I was like, what? They use a pencil and a pad of paper for everything, and yet they have a website? For mind blown. No Excel spreadsheets, no anything. And lo and behold, when the receipt came, receipt was like, I mean, it was printed out from a computer, but I was like, wait a sec, that's the receipt they send? It came with like a receipt that you'd get from the actual cash register. So there's no email receipt or any of that kind of stuff. And I'm like, huh? And maybe they're a small business. Well, I mean, clearly they are, but maybe like they're a really small business and they can't afford to do such things, but I don't know. It seemed wonky to me. So it was a little weird. And, I was like, wow. Needless to say, it's been like a weird situation for me. So I'm not quite sure how to what to make of things, as of yet. But I will talk about Peter Pig in a future episode, and I'll talk more about this. I'll actually talk about the models that came and the sculpting and all that sort of stuff. And not a review, but like a more in-depth look than this. This is just like here's a blurb. But I'm not like really over eager to order from Brookhurst Hobbies anytime soon just because of this, because it was weird, but I don't want to write them off either because like I'm sure there's more to the story and I just don't know what it is. It's interesting though, because the listener who contacted me, at Coleman Stryker on Twitter, said that and this was from several days ago, that the owner of Peter Pig is actually a buddy of his and was going to be going over to his place to game. He's going to talk to him about this. And I don't mean for it to be a thing, but I guess stuff is being discussed at higher levels. And management will be involved. And, I don't know. So, we'll see what happens. And, I don't know. Maybe they'll talk to Brookhurst Hobbies and be like, hey, so we heard you use pencil and paper for your ordering. What gives? Cause 2015 people, and if you're doing business online, maybe like email, right? Email is not hard. There are people who don't have websites, who don't do any of that kind of stuff, and email. I previously talked about those fantastic Leadbeer's Tufts, right? He does not have a website. He does business literally via PayPal and email. He has a Facebook page, and some stuff goes on eBay auctions, and the rest he does like in person when he's at a convention or a game day. Otherwise, you send him an email, say, this is what I want. Can you do it? And then you complete the transaction in PayPal. That's not hard. And he communicates, and it's none of this. Let me get my pencil and just lick the tip in so I can start writing down. Or let me pull up my quill and dip it into my inkwell. What? No one does that. 2015. So I'm done ranting, but I was unpleasantly surprised by things. But again, it could be a fluke. This is my only experience with Brookhurst Hobbies, so I don't want to unjustly paint them into a corner here with stuff. So maybe this is just like a one-off weird thing for me. Maybe the stuff wasn't in stock and they had to get it, but again, communication would have been nice because communication is key, right? Nowadays, transparency is what everyone's looking for. It's a good thing. So anyway, the next episode of the show you can learn about in the episode guide, right? Episode guide is really cool. WargamingRecon.com/episode guide. And it talks about what the upcoming episodes will be, when they come out, and it even gives like little things like who's going to be a guest and what the topic is. So the next episode releases on November 9th, and it's going to be the holiday gift guide episode for 2015, which is really cool. And that's one where, you know, we have the categories like under $50, up to 100 and 250 or more, and things that we suggest that would be useful for you to buy the Wargamer in your life or to tell non-Wargamers in your life things that you might want. Try to make the gift buying season a little easier for everyone. So that's a cool episode. So that'll be on November 9th. And then maybe we'll do November 23rd, we'll do the recap for Extra Life, which might be cool because I don't have anything planned. And then December 7th is the last new episode of the season, it's going to be 149. It was supposed to be 150, but I was sick, where we look back on 2015. So that'll be pretty cool. Well, at this point, we have finished talking about all the cool stuff I wanted to. So I just want to remind you, first of all, thank you very much for taking the time to listen to this episode. Show notes, show notes, show notes. WargamingRecon.com/WR146. That's WargamingRecon.com/WR146. That'll have links to everything such as Plastic Soldier Review and the stuff we talked about for 170 seconds. Even more importantly, it'll have a link to how you can make a donation for the Extra Life 24-Hour Gamerthon, which will benefit Boston Children's Hospital, wargamingrecon.com/charity. Anything you can spare, any spare change, whatever, $1, $2, $5, $10, whatever you got. If you're willing and able, just put it in there. Every little bit makes a difference, and this will help kids. So do it, please, if you can. And then I'll also have a link to the charity auction, which is... I hope this raises a lot of money because this is a really beautiful model, great sculpt, and it's just as beautifully painted. So thank you so much, Dave, for doing this and for last year, just doing the whole auction thing. So that'll be wargamingrecon.com/eBay auction, and you'll get that, and just all the stuff that I talked about will be in the show notes. So you guys know the deal. No matter how busy you are in your lives, no matter how sick you are and trying to get over it, no matter what's going on, you have to keep on gaming. Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Cast, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon and all of the other podcasts that you know and love. Or you can always stream and download the latest episode of Wargaming Recon by heading on over to the show notes for that episode.
Hey there, this is Ben Gerber from Troll in the Corner, and I'd like to invite you to listen to my podcast, Indie Talks. Indie Talks is a discussion about independent publishing, where we take a look at indie games, the people who write them, and the people who play them. We're going to branch a little farther afield as well and talk to some independent television and movie stars and creators, as well as crafters, all of who are related to gaming in some way, shape, or form. So please join me on the Troll in the Corner Network at trollitc.com and give Indie Talks a listen.
Are you a wargamer and want to know what to do when you're an Australian wargamer? Then you need to tune in to the Hobby Desk for Australian wargamers. This is a member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network, and we're here to give you the best possible things that Australian wargamers can give to you, the listeners. And I hope you enjoy what we do, because guess what? It's coming more and more often and more awesome for you who listen to the Hobby Desk on the Troll in the Corner podcast network.
This is Andreas, Apprentice of the White Order. I would like to invite you to listen to my letters, a humble collection of my observations of the various beautiful and very, very dangerous creatures that inhabit my world. I hope you enjoy it as part of the Monsters of the Shattered World on Troll in the Corner at trollitc.com.
Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network. Visit www.trollitc.com for more information. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike 3.0 license. Look for Wargaming Recon online at www.wargamingforums.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Stitcher Radio. You can learn more about this episode by reading the show notes on our blog. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Thank you for listening, and keep on gaming.
Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 13th to the 15th, 2016, at the Doubletree Inn in Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming in New England at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information.